Romans, the first chapter. Just start reading the 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, we just kind of cut in here, but this is really given God's version, which is the version of Israel's history. And, you know, that this is the record, like Stephen would say, you know, you had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, but you took up the tabernacle of Moloch. They had their version of history, and then God had his version of history. And this, of course, in the book of Romans is like an indictment, but it says they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And literally, they became too smart for God. And when you become too smart for God, you do become a fool. And I was talking to Brother Ted in Michigan yesterday, you know, just talking about, and I don't know what brought it up, but I said, you know, I doubt there's ever been a time, ever been a service, ever been a gathering of Christian people, whether it's Sunday to Sunday or services or throughout history, that they didn't gather together and feel like they were getting a little bit closer to God. Gather together, feel like that they weren't becoming a little bit more knowledgeable. Gather together, maybe becoming, you know, a step toward a little bit more spiritual. And they did that headlong into the Dark Ages. And they did that headlong into many of the horrors of that which has been called Christianity. It's probably happened to every denomination, every movement to ever been, thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools. And I promise you that if we were to start a movement or a denomination or something like that, if the Lord should tarry, that would happen at some point, whether sooner or later, that would happen. That's always been the natural course of man. But this was Israel professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. And, you know, I know that they made literal images to worship and the other gods, but it says they made it like unto corruptible man. And maybe that so much, especially if we speak of the culture that we know, that it's maybe not the images, but we have turned God into what man wants him to be. We've transformed God into an idea that man loves, and we just like to think about God this way, and because we like to think about God this way, nothing's really going to change that. The Scripture's not going to change that. The dealing of the Spirit's not going to change that. You know, we got God fashioned like we want him to be. And that's what Israel did. Now, there was literal idols and images. But he says this, he said, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. And, you know, that's the one thing that really got my attention, you know, when I came to the Lord, is because I had fashioned God pretty much like I wanted him to be. He was going to accept me. He was going to understand me. He was, you know, going to see things my way. And, you know, after I got through talking to him, that was the way that it was going to be. And I didn't understand that at the time, but I thought that I could fashion God into my image. But that realization hit me. It didn't matter what I told myself God was going to do or that God was. It didn't change it one bit. You know, it didn't matter if others agreed with me or not. Didn't change God. Didn't change what he was. Didn't change what he'd accept, didn't change what he would reject, one bit. And he says, but they did this, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. As we start going into these last verses, I know that probably the last version of Behold the Lamb was given over. How many's read that? Given over. You know, and that's something's taken from this passage. It's something actually had been on my heart all year long. But that's just not a key text. So, you know, I just leave that alone. But it parallels what we see in our nation. Parallels. And I would dare say that God's dealing with any nation or culture over the years has probably taken this course. That you can see it, that you can see it clearly. And all you have to do today to see it in our nation, the Western culture nation, is just open your eyes. That's all you have to do. And it started, and it always starts, with them changing the image of God into an image they want Him to be. They don't like the way that God is, so they change God the way they want Him to be. And they become fools when they think they can do that. So for this cause, 24th verse, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And I'm going to say that in the history of mankind, you've always had uncleanness and you always will. With humanity, with mankind, you've always had many of the things that we'll talk about. You've always had, and I suppose that you always will, at least until the Lord comes, that you're going to have these things. But it's one thing to have these things in the heart of man and be those things that rise up at different times. But it's another thing to see a nation given up to these things. And nations, since the beginning of time, you've had nations that have been good nations, but then at some point begin to be given up to these things. Well, here he says God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And he's just talking about sexual uncleanness is what dishonoring their own bodies and forsaken marriage, forsaken you know, the purity of themselves before God. And that happened as a nation. That began to happen to our nation back in the 60s and the 70s. And some of you will remember that very well. I, of course, was very young. But if you just study the history and the culture of a nation, that's easy to see. And though many of you have lived through that, that there became a change, a cultural change in our nation where that which was once wrong became acceptable. And that which people of any sort, of any belief almost, said, no, this is wrong. And that changed. And how many, some of you lived through that change and saw that? That just the immorality, that the no limits, and he describes it here. He said they dishonored their own bodies between themselves. And it was that we've turned from a nation of families, you know, into a nation that today way over 50% of our children are born out of wedlock. And, you know, and I'm not saying that to condemn a child that's been born out of wedlock or to condemn parents. I know many, many men and women of God that love the Lord, you know, that, you know, call it made mistakes, that took a course. But I'm just trying to point out that that which you'd always seen became a national sin rather than an exception. And that tells you that something's changed. And that happened to our nation before many of you in this place were born. That the culture of our nation changed. And I remember, and this was Billy Graham. It was in the 70s. I know this, that Billy Graham said this. And y'all know who Billy Graham is, the great Baptist evangelist, you know, that probably for 40 years, so highly admired and well known, whether you agree with him or not, that, you know, he was respected. But he said this, and this was having to do with those changes in American culture back then. He said, if God doesn't judge America, he said he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he made that statement back in the 70s over what was going on in American culture. And, you know, we think, well, if America doesn't change, God's going to judge it back then. But the true understanding was that God was already beginning to judge a nation. Beginning. You know, we look at things in a short span. Sometimes we look at it in our lifespan or in a few years. But God doesn't look at things that way. And He began to let a nation destroy its foundation simply by giving them up to uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He let a nation, and we're not going, but in Romans the 9th chapter, the Scripture speaks of God who endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. And He's talking about for Egypt and many others, and then eventually Israel, but nations that God began to fit, prepare for destruction. And He gave Israel up to uncleanness. And I want to tell you, there was an hour that He gave our nation up to uncleanness. And that was probably before half the people in this place were alive. And during that period of time, and it changed. And so He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, I may not get this right, and some of y'all may help me. There used to be not a creed that talked about the priority, the order of things. And the first was who? God. What was second? Family. What was third? Country. God, family, country. That was the order of things. You know, that you have things that trump, things that take priority. That you honor, you serve your country, but your responsibility above that was to your family. You take care of your family, but your responsibility of that was your service of God. It was an order of things. And it was an order that's not written like that in the Scripture, but you can find in the Scripture. You can find to obey those that have the rule over you. But you can find that he that careth not of his own family is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But above it all, you find you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. But the Scripture says, but they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And man got lifted up above God. Nathan and Alexa are engaged. And I was talking to them, and I was riding with them Sunday afternoon. We were just talking about marriages. I said, you know, the one thing that I've seen over the years that probably is the biggest destroyer of marriages is simply selfishness. Simply selfishness. Because I've always told my sons, I said, if you hadn't found a lady that's more important than you, you're not ready to get married. And I say that to a young lady. If you hadn't found a young man that's more important than you, I'm not talking about than your dignity or things. I'm just talking about that as long as you're number one, you're not ready, man or woman. But we turned into a nation that you're number one. The commercials will tell you that. The advertising will tell you that. The pop psychology will tell you that. Who do you got to think about first? You got to think about you first. But somehow, man got lifted up above God. For this cause, who changed the truth of God into the lie, we could deal with that in the gospel and the truth, rejected it for a lie. Worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Now, this is not that first step. That first step was wrong, but it was a wrong, it was a misuse of that which was natural in a man or a woman. And now we can see that. That dishonoring their own bodies. That's why you tell a young lady, respect your body. But it was a misuse of that, and God brings judgment for that. But here, he said he gave them up to what? Vile affections. Something that's not a misuse of something natural. Scripture says it's vile. vile affections, and he tells us, and he doesn't beat around the bush, does he? He tells us this. He says, vile affections, even the women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. What is he talking about? Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of theirs. And he's talking about homosexuality. That's what he's talking about. We live in a day, and for you young people, I want to say this, it's almost a gaff that you would say anything. I want to tell you, in my lifetime, how many would bear witness, in my lifetime, that thing has been completely turned over. In my lifetime, the lost person knew it was wrong. The person that didn't believe in God knew it was vile. Knew that it was a perversion. He says, against nature. Knew that. And so, in the space of time, that which is my short life, I'm going to say something that it's probably been starting in the last, three decades, but in this past decade, the snowball has crested the hill and been just rampaging. And I will tell you this, it has changed the culture of a nation, and it's not going to be reversed. And that's what's heartbreaking, is I know that. It's not going to be reversed. I'll say this, when we were children, Jeff will remember this, we didn't have a TV till I was probably about 12, 13 years old. But there were shows that Dad wouldn't let us watch. This is just a funny show. No, it's not just a funny show. This is what this show's telling you. And we thought he just saw, a boogeyman behind every tree. That's what we thought. Today, I say he was right. He would say this about, I remember The Odd Couple. He would say that, no, it's not just a show about two men that just got stuck together. It's preparing minds for homosexuality. And how do you remember that? I told you that. And just, oh, no, Dad. He was right. Today, and I'm going to say this, you look any time of the day, don't say this. This is maybe not too comfortable for you, but I need to point it out, and there's some things I need to say. Any time of day, the day talk show that no presidential candidate will meet is an open lesbian, Ellen. The Good Morning America, one of the lead ladies, is an open lesbian. After she opened up, her looks begin to change. She's an open lesbian. The View, one of the co-hosts, is an open lesbian. And they've always, coming out of that of Hollywood, male and female both, it's always been there, but it's always been the thing we're going to hide. But it's not that way anymore. It's there. You're going to see it. It's going to be there. It's going to be. And you say, well, that's just the way it is. It is what they are. And some of you young people need to hear this. What you're seeing going on in our society is not just a natural thing of people that were in the closet coming out of the closet. You're seeing an avalanche that is sweeping up your friends, that is sweeping up sons and daughters and grandchildren into an unnatural, vile perversion. And we're told if we say anything, it's hate. It's hate. Just later on this text, he talks about the end of it being filled with all uncleanness. Our nation is being filled. Our nation is being prepared. Our children, or our grandchildren, our friends, are brought to the place of absolute acceptance as normality. Now, I want to say something, and this is something that probably the reason I'm here tonight, the reason that it grieves my heart is not because I think you ought to take, if a person's a drunkard, you treat them with respect. If a person has messed up, you treat them with respect. If a person's a homosexual, you treat them with respect. But being set forth to our nation, to our people, to our children, as normality and good, and we're going to get to that passage of Scripture, is part of that that is filling into all uncleanness. But I want to tell you what breaks my heart. It may surprise some people. It's not a hatred. It's not a spite. It's a recognition that if they don't know God, there's a good chance my grandchildren will be called away in that wave. I'll say that again. It's a recognition that such is the wave of uncleanness and perversion. You say, not me! I would speak as a fool. That it's sweeping children, sons and daughters into the grasp of perversion by the tens of thousands. And Sister Christine, if they don't know the Lord, there's no reason for me to say that some of them won't be my grandchildren. And that's the thing that grips me. Or your children, or your grandchildren, or your great grandchildren, as a nation, is being fitted. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I want to tell you, the second stage is already upon us. The third stage is beginning to take place. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind where nothing is too far. There was a day in this nation, just like there was a day in Israel, that a young lady and a young man knew that they kept themselves for that one that God would join them to. And then there was an hour that was lost. But still in this nation, the young men and the young women knew, the young ladies knew that there was a man out there. And the young men knew what? Oh, there's some girl out there, and I'm going to find her. That is being stripped from the conscience of our children as a nation is being fitted for destruction. But a reprobate mind is a mind that nothing is too far. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled. There's a scripture, we're not going to get there tonight. I was kind of show the opposite things that are set before us. But in Ephesians 3, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, what? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And because as a people we rejected God of that hope and that promise of being filled with all the fullness of God, what has been given then is being filled with all unrighteousness. And it's pouring in on every hand. It's pouring in everywhere you turn. And it rushes for the souls of our children and youth. Being filled with all unrighteousness. You know why the youth and the children are so important to a nation, or to God, or to Satan. Because you lose the youth, you've lost the nation. The nation is dead, just waiting for the funeral. Instead of being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. You know, people are shocked. I want you to listen to it. People are shocked when I tell them I never can remember lying to my parents. I'm not saying I was a perfect kid. It's just when they asked, I heard you got in a fight at school. What happened? I told them what happened. But I want to tell you, there was a day that honesty was the norm, not the exception. That's what you expected. Brother Pilla, what did they used to say that was the most important thing that a man had? His name, his word. His word and his name. It didn't matter if they were churched people or not, that was the norm. That a man's word, and he had his name because he had his word. And that was the norm. That was the norm of people that you would meet that you didn't know. That you expected the truth. Because a lie was something that was only what you would call the vow. But he said they'd be filled with murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, come up with evil things, disobedient to parents. You think Paul made a mistake putting that in there? No. Without understanding, covenant breakers. You know what a covenant breaker is? It gives his word, and he doesn't keep it. Without natural affection. This is not that vile affection. You know what natural affection is? Boy loves mom. Boy will stand by mom. Boy loves dad. Boy will stand by dad. That order of things that you saw, expected, and knew would be in people. It's a natural affection. And he said they'd be without it. Implacable. Who knows what implacable is? This is one of the words, like Sister Charity told me, that it was impossible to encourage me. Is that what you told me? Well, see, impossible to encourage me. Implacable. Well, I looked it up. Impossible to come to an agreement with them. Implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. I came through all this. One, for that 29th verse, being filled. That's what's happening. That's what's happening to our nation. Why is it being filled? Because it's being fitted for destruction. You'll search through the scripture, and even the nations that God drove out of Canaan, it says, and when the iniquity of the Amorites was full, then God drove them out and destroyed them and let someone else take their place. He will not destroy a righteous people. But when a righteous people reject that which they know is right, then God begins to fit them. And it doesn't happen in a day, brother. It doesn't happen in a year. It doesn't happen in a decade. But I've lived long enough to see it happen to our nation. And that struck me today, and that's the reason I'm standing here tonight saying that. My sons are grown. Some of them good men, some of them know the Lord, some of them not. They're honest men. In their worst day, they'd tell me the truth. I said, some know the Lord, some don't. And that's why I speak of my grandchildren. But it struck me today that because the nation's being filled, they're being filled every time you turn on the television. I want to say this to you. We just passed an election and a lot of people happy that the Republicans are back in. Don't you dare think that they're going to change things. I'm going to tell you this. The Republican leadership is glad that the courts begin to deal with striking down the state's marriage laws. Because they can say, well, we had nothing to do with it. But they're glad. But a nation being fitted, being filled, it's like the pits of hell had opened up and from every side it's pouring in. And I want to tell you, its main goal is the youth. If you're youth, you're its main goal. And you say, but it won't happen to me. I go to Calvary Outreach. Won't happen to me. So-and-so's my dad or my mom. That's why I stand here and tell you that if they don't know the Lord, it could just as well be my grandchildren that I haven't even seen yet that will be swept away with the vilest affections, the immorality, and every unclean thing. And that's why these things grieve me so. Because I know that as far as it's come, Brother Pilla, it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop here. I can't close this service without going back to that other option. He said that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I will say this. Maybe for most of my life, I've seen that there seem to be two extremes. The vile and those that partook of the fullness of God. In a large area in between that people said, well, we'll just abide here. We want the vileness, but we don't particularly want that. I want to tell you the middle is disappearing. It's being swept away. It's coming an hour that either there'll be one that lays hold of the Lord to be filled with His fullness. Or they be filled with all unrighteousness as they, with the rest of this nation, are fitted for destruction. Will someone say hallelujah? I'm glad that's not a Keith message. I couldn't bear to. But it's the truth. It's the truth. So easily to point at a person, I've said all my life that, you know, the bad kid's the kid down the road. But it's so easy to point at young people that are swept aside with these horrible things. Say, just a bad kid. No. It's a kid, a child, that happened to be living in an hour when a nation was being fitted for destruction, that did not choose Jesus Christ. And it could be yours, could be mine, it could be our grandchildren. They just happened to be living in a nation that was being fitted for destruction. And they did not choose Jesus Christ. Amen.